Hey everyone, and welcome to the Ask Reaching Ahead Show, episode 7. And on today's show, we're going to talk about what you need to do when you get injured.
My name is Lauren Early, and I am a former 6-time World Irish Dance Champion who is now devoted to helping every dancer achieve big dreams of their own. On each episode, we will bring you the best questions to help you discover and unlock your full potential, so that you can benefit in every possible way. Thank you for watching, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Okay guys, so welcome to the show. Today's episode is going to be a very interesting one because we're actually going to talk about what you need to do as a dancer when you get injured. And let's be honest, the sport is massively full of injuries, unfortunately. So there's going to come a time where you're going to need this advice if you haven't already. Now, generally what happens is coming up to a major competition such as Worlds or Nationals or whatever it might be, we get an influx of messages around dancers that have just gotten injured, and they want to know what they need to do for help, okay? So it becomes panic stations, right? They don't know what to do. And so they'll come on, they'll ask, and they'll try and get some advice. So hopefully this episode and podcast will be able to put it out there as to what I feel are the best things that we should do. Now, we're not going to go into the real boring details of things like rehab and all those different types of exercises, but we're just going to generalize it, okay? Give some really good advice as to what you should do from the moment you get injured and how we actually get back to our best performance. So we have a message on Facebook from Healy, and Healy asks, Lauren, I have just got injured and I'm a few weeks out from Nationals. I don't know what I should do. Please help. Okay, Healy, so this is the situation, okay? No one really cares about getting injured until it happens, all right? So when it comes down to, you know, trying to look after the body and looking after the strength and the structural balance aspects of everything, nobody really cares until it comes about them, and all of a sudden they want help, right? So it becomes specific to that person, and we now need to find a way to fix it. Of course, it's always better to prevent an injury from coming, but when it's there, it's really about how quickly can we get you back on your feet again without creating any more damage. So, Healy, the first thing that you got to think about is why. So most people, they'll want to rush back, and that's good because as an athlete, you will want to get back as quickly as possible. And it's good to have that hunger, but sometimes it's also good to have a second opinion as to, well, you haven't even asked yourself why it happened first, okay? Irish dancing is not a contact sport, all right? So it's not like rugby or football where you're going to have a lot of contact from external things. It's just a single sport. There's an impact element to it for sure, but it's not a contact sport. So if you're getting injured, there's a reason why you're getting injured. For example, if I'm playing rugby and someone comes and tackles my knee and it dislocates, okay, that's the reason why that happened. There's absolutely nothing I could have done about that. It's just one of those things. But as a dancer, if you get injured, unless you slip and fall, it's going to be down to a certain reason, right? There's going to be a reason as to why it happened. Now, how many people who get injured actually ask why they're injured? No one. No one ever asks why did that happen, okay? They'll go over in their ankle, or their hip will get sore over a period of a year, or their knee will get sore or whatever, and all they really want to know is, how do I remove the pain so I can continue to dance, okay? So the first thing you got to ask yourself is, why did it happen? Now, what tends to happen leading up to a competition is you increase the training volume, right? So every year we see the training volume going up, going into a competition. Now, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, but what I'm saying is if you're going to increase training volume going into a competition, your body needs to be prepared for that. So if you're dancing 3 days a week all year round, and suddenly coming up to Nationals or Worlds, all of a sudden you either feel like you haven't done enough and you're too far behind, or your school is now doing more classes and more days and extra training and all this sort of stuff, that's an increase in training volume. It's like going to the gym 3 days per week and all of a sudden you decide to go 7 days per week and go for 5 hours instead of two. All right, it's an increase in training stress. It's an increase in volume. It's an increase in impact. It's an increase in energy expenditure. And along with all those increases, it's also an increase in injury risk, okay? So you got to consider this. So if I'm going to increase someone's training volume, I'm also going to make sure that they're structurally strong enough to be able to deal with that volume. So I would either have tested it out at a point in the year where it's not important. So I want to know, okay, coming up to this competition, I'm going to have you dancing 7 days per week or 6 days per week, or maybe doing home practice or whatever it is. But I want to know that you can actually cope with that. I want to know that your joints have been exposed to that amount of volume before and that you came out of it okay the other end. Okay, so if you're going to plan on ramping up your training to that level, you must have done a period before where you know it's okay and it's worked for you. If you're just going through it because you know you're too far behind or that it's something that the school is programming in, then you got to be careful because it's an increase in volume at the same time. So I would always be looking for ways to decrease the amount of impact whilst increasing the volume there. The other thing is that we've been through this a lot of times before, but we know with all other sports is that they are normally going through a peaking phase coming into the competition. So in other words, all the hard work's being done, and really what happens is they keep the intensity of everything. So the speed, the sharpness, the power, and all of that's still going to be in there. All of the quality of work is there. But what generally tends to happen is the quantity would be reduced. Okay, so coming in, the quantity is generally something that would be more based around off-season training, where you're really just looking at building up that fitness, but that's how we do it through the quantity, right? So volume of training will increase fitness and your ability to last for longer. Now, when we're coming into competition season, what we generally see with all other sports is that it becomes about quality. So the quantity's been done, the fitness is there, now it becomes about quality of work. And so when you're reducing the quantity, then you're trying to increase the quality of the work. So your speed and your sharpness and everything's much better. There's not as much volume, right? So there's less chance of getting injured. There's always going to be a risk of injury, but you can somewhat dilute that by just having intelligent programming and how you're structuring your training, okay? So that's kind of why. You got to ask yourself why it's happened. Now, if we then look at fixing it, so it's happened, there's nothing we can do about it now. How do we then fix it? Well, what generally happens in the process next? So we take a dancer, she's just been injured. She will obviously, after the initial trauma, maybe 1 or 2 days with her icing and recovering and that sort of stuff. And that's all pretty common knowledge. We know we need to ice, we know we need to heat, we know we need to keep the circulation going, keep the blood flow going, keep the nutrients going to the area, keep the swelling down so the nutrients can get in. And we're just trying to promote recovery. Okay, that's generally well known. It's done pretty well. But the next steps after that are generally what we don't do very well. So most people will either go and see a physical therapist or some sort of therapist that will deal with injuries, okay? Now, here's kind of my few thoughts on this sort of stuff. If you're going to go and see someone, let's say you have a foot injury, okay? If you're going to go see someone about a foot injury and you go to see a podiatrist, right? So we go to see a podiatrist about a foot injury. Generally, podiatrists, not all, most have kind of expanded, some have expanded out, but generally podiatrists are trained to look at something in isolation. So they're trained to deal with feet. So I have an issue with my foot. I go to see a podiatrist and all of a sudden they're trying to fix the pain in the foot, okay? But what if the pain isn't what if the actual cause of the injury isn't coming from there? So the cause of the injury might be coming from somewhere further up the chain. It might be coming from the hip, the knee, the shoulder, the neck, the spine. It could be coming from anywhere. And because the foot's at the very end of the chain, something could have happened in the foot. Your hips might be all off and all of a sudden you're going over in your ankle. You go to get your ankle treated. But in reality, the issue is coming from the fact that your hips just aren't stable. Your knee's trying to counteract it. The knee's going one way, the ankle goes the other way, and all of a sudden you went over in your ankle. Okay, the same can happen for knee pain. The same can happen for something else. So because it's not, like I said before, it's not a contact sport. So if someone's going to tackle you and they tackle your knee and it dislocates, we know that that pain has directly came from the knee or the impact on the knee, right? But if something happens and you develop a pain in the knee, over a period of 6 months or a year, or a pain in the hip or a pain in the shins or whatever it might be, it's going to be coming from somewhere else. And it's going to be a result of either alignment issues, impact issues, or both strength. So you got to ask yourself always as to why did it happen? And when you go about fixing it, we need to find someone that's going to fix it and not look at the area in isolation. They must be able to assess everything from head to toe. So let's then say we find someone, your immediate concern is getting rid of the pain so you can go back into training, okay? But think about this. Let's say your PT says, and we hear this all the time, so we'll get a question through, they'll ask us, they'll tell us about an injury. My question back will always be, so how long do you have to rest it for? Okay, so they'll tell me, okay, my PT says, physical therapist says I have to rest it for 6 weeks, and then I can return back to dance. Okay, but did your physical therapist tell you that you have to change anything when you go back? Or have you just arrested, and then what happens? Are you just gonna go back and do exactly the same thing? Because here lies another problem, right? Is that it's okay you resting, doing little exercises until the pain goes away. But if you go back and do exactly the same thing that you've done in the first place, guess what happens again? You know what I mean? So you gotta think about these things in a little bit more detail. So many people are icing their shins and reducing impact until they can go back because they have shin splints. Guess what happens when you go back again? You have shin splints. Because what you've done is you've just removed the pain in the shin by reducing the training volume. So of course the pain's gone away, because the only reason why the pain's there in the first place is because of the high amount of training volume. So of course if you reduce the volume and someone tells you to rest, of course naturally the pain's gonna go away, because there's no need for the inflammation to be there in the shin in the first place, right? So you rest, the pain subsides, it reduces, the inflammation lowers, you go back into doing 6 dance classes per week and suddenly it increases again. Okay, it's the same issue with the knees and the hips and everything else. So if you're gonna go back and do exactly the same thing that you've done in the first place without actually finding out, well, why did that happen? Did I go through a period where I was training too much? Was there signs that it was gonna be injured before it happened? Are my hips really weak and suddenly I went over my ankle? There could be a whole host of things going on that you gotta think about in a lot more detail. And sometimes what you're doing when you're removing the pain is you're just removing the symptoms, but you're not actually removing the root cause of the problem. Okay, and so that's why it's really important that if you are trying to get someone to deal with these issues, that they actually have a look at the opposite end of where else could this actually be coming from. So it's okay to treat ankle pain or shins or knees, but unless someone's actually assessing the hips and the strength of the hips and the glutes and the hamstrings, I mean, you have a lot of people coming on about knee pain, and yet hamstrings are the result of like 80% of knee injuries. But yet no one's coming back to me and telling me that they're being told to strengthen the hamstrings for the next 8 or 12 weeks. They're just coming back and they're saying they're being told to rest, and the knee pain goes away and they go back in again. So you always got to ask the why it's happened. Then you always got to be looking at the fixing it element of, okay, why did it happen? Now that tells you how to fix it, because you know that you can't just look at that one area in isolation. You need to look at things as a whole and you find the real problem. Or better still, if you don't have time to find a real problem, which could be specific and hard to find, you just got to make sure that you're strong. You just got to make sure that you're spending time every year strengthening your opposing muscle groups, the groups that aren't worked as much, and just being generally strong in all of the areas that dancers are generally weak in. Upper bodies, glutes, lower back, hamstrings, all of the posterior chain, the areas that generally aren't worked through your dance movements. This will help keep you structurally balanced, and 9 times out of 10 will reduce all injuries that are going to occur or likely to occur just due to those issues. So that's the best way that you can go through this period of being injured and what actually happens. Now, what do we then do in terms of how do we get back on our feet and get back to full performance? So as an athlete, you generally want to get back very, very quickly. So most people are worried about how quickly they can go back to dancing, right? So you get injured, you want to know how quickly you can get back to dance. But 9 times out of 10, don't even be thinking about dancing. You got to be thinking about the fitness first. So what are you going to lose first? If you get injured today, over a period of 6 weeks, 6 weeks later, what do you think has reduced the most? Your ability to dance or your fitness? Okay? Most people are so rushed back, involved in rushing back to get back to practicing in the house or get back to doing dance steps, when in reality, guys, when you know how to ride a bike, you're always going to know how to ride a bike. It's when you build up the motor patterns in your brain of how to do something that will stay with you for the rest of your life. Lauren hasn't danced in about 5 or 6 years, and I guarantee if she was going to try to dance tomorrow, she would be able to dance. Yeah, the dance technique would be fine. What wouldn't be fine, however, is the dance fitness. Okay, so your fitness is going to be the first thing that drops the second you stop working out. It's a fact. If your body doesn't need it, it's not going to expand the calories and the energy to keep it there. It's the same with building muscle, right? If you no longer strength train, the muscle will get smaller because it doesn't have a requirement to be bigger anymore. It can do the daily task that you wanted to do by being smaller. So if you're not going to lift heavy things, it just won't give it, your body just won't provide the energy and the calories to keep that muscle big when there's a whole host of other things that it needs to do it for. And your body could keep those calories and put it towards helping your body recover that injury rather than keeping you fit, okay? So it goes very, very smart about the calorie position and where we actually put things. And it's not going to expend energy on stuff that really doesn't matter. It might matter in your brain because you know you want to get back to dancing, but to your body, it just matters there and then, okay? So when you know how to ride a bike, you're always going to know how to ride a bike. That means that you don't need to worry about trying to get back to your dance technique quickly. You will pick it up very, very fast again. Those motor patterns are always going to be ingrained in your brain and you will get it very, very quick. The fitness is the first thing that's going to drop. So in my experience, the best thing that you can do is get on to fitness immediately as soon as you get injured. It doesn't have to be very taxing or challenging, but it keeps the circulation going, okay? So let's say, for example, you had a foot injury or an ankle injury and you aren't allowed to do any impact for 6 weeks. Let's use that as our example, okay? In that 6 week period, immediately, the first go-to I'm gonna go to is something that doesn't create any impact, okay? So you have two things to worry about. You have strength and you have general cardiovascular fitness. So we must still train the heart and we must still train strength. Now, 9 times out of 10, most dancers that get injured aren't doing any strength training anyway. And by the way, sometimes in the past, when I've ended up training a dancer who has become injured, they have had more progress in those 6 weeks after the injury than what they did in the 6 months leading up to it, because the training stimulus is different. And 9 times out of 10, dancers that have just got injured weren't doing any strength training at all in the first place. And so in those 6 weeks, when you remove those 5 or 6 dance lessons that they're doing, that gives me six weeks where I can actually focus on strength and focus on really training the heart. And then when they come back, they're generally stronger and they're generally much fitter. And then all we do is apply the dance technique on top of it. And they're actually come out a much better dancer because those are things that they weren't focused on before they got injured in the first place. So if you are injured or you do get injured before a major competition and you still have a period of time where you can train, don't let it get you down, because you can actually make bigger improvements and come back better if you get the training correct. So go back to what I said. We have two things we got to think about. We got to think about heart. So just in making sure that we keep the heart adaptations. So you've worked really hard to build up your fitness. We know that's going to drop. So we must find a way to be able to train the heart appropriately, anaerobically and aerobically. And then what we also must look after is the strength. Okay. So straight away, if you can't dance, that frees up hopefully 3, 4, 5, 6 days per week where you've actually got free time to do these things. Now, I would immediately go into 3 times per week of at least 40 to 45 minute fitness-based sessions, and you're going to choose something that you can do based around your injury. So my go-to would always be standing on a spin bike, okay? Because people are going to lose that explosive power that they are developed before they got injured, okay? Now, you want to mimic dance movements as closely as possible when you get injured. So I would have my dancers or athletes standing on a spin bike and cranking up that resistance and doing 1 or 2 of those 3 fitness sessions based around driving explosively down through the calf on a spin bike. You're standing, so your body's in an upright position, so you are mimicking a dance position, and you get to train the calf very, very explosively, but without the impact. Okay, so that's number one. If you can go immediately onto a bike, we're going to do that, but we're going to stand, we're going to increase the resistance, and we're going to drive down hard. That's going to look after that anaerobic kind of power explosive type work, and you're going to be able to do that perfectly, but without impact. Now, if you find that you can't do that, let's say you have a boot on or something like that, you need to regress. So if in that instance, you can just go straight into swimming. Okay, now swimming obviously is not specific to dancing at all, but it's still going to train your heart aerobically. So you can still get fitness benefits and we can still target a specific heart rate zone, and that's going to get the heart working. So you can be doing 3 sessions per week, and then in the other days, let's say you do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, on a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday, you can also be then looking after some strength work, and Saturday, Sunday, or on your strength days, you can also be looking after core work. Okay, you can be doing lots of static holds. You can lie on your back and be doing lots of ab hollow work. There's absolutely no reason why you can't be training your core. Like I said, 6 weeks time, you can be coming back stronger and fitter than what you were before you danced, because you remove the impact and you actually focus on strength training, core training, and fitness. So if your injury is really bad, you can start with swimming. You can progress swimming onto a spin bike. You can sit first if you need to. We can then stand up as the next phase and train the calves explosively in a standing close to dance position. After that, I would get back into maybe running on grass. And at that stage, you should be able to incorporate a little bit of walking through some steps. And by week six or so on, depending on the severity of your injury, you should be able to get back to dancing, but you should have a great fitness level. Like, let's take pulling a hamstring, for example, okay? So how many dancers pull a hamstring and they can't go through full range of motion in a dance? That doesn't mean that you can't be fit. That's a perfect opportunity for you to go, okay, I can't go through full range of motion in a dance, but guess what? I've danced for the last 7 years and I know my dance technique perfectly. So I can put that to the side. I've still got another 8 to 10 weeks until my competition. So I'm gonna focus right now. I'm only gonna maybe work on walking through steps maybe once a week or so. But right now, because I can't dance full range of motion, I'm gonna focus on all of my energy systems work. So I'm gonna make sure my aerobic fitness is improved. I'm gonna make sure my anaerobic, my ability to tolerate lactic acid and powerful explosive movements has improved. You can do all that through standing on a bike, which is a shorter range of motion. You don't have any high kicks, so the hamstring's not getting worked very much. In fact, on a spin bike, it's all pressing through the pedal. You're not actually pulling the pedal, so the hamstring's not getting worked very much at all. But on your strengthening sessions, 2 days per week, you can slowly start building up the strength in that hamstring through small range of movements. And then guess what? 6 weeks, 8 weeks time, you're coming back stronger. You've rehabbed your hamstring properly. Your core is stronger. Your aerobic fitness is better. Your anaerobic fitness is better. Your ability to produce explosive movements is really, really good. And that whole time, you've reduced impact massively, which means your joints have less inflammation and your body's now ready to go. And you're coming into the final weeks of the competition. You get back into those explosive dance movements, patch it all together, and you're good to go. Okay? So I don't want anybody panicking when they get injured and thinking that it's the end of the world. If you have time, there's absolutely no reason why you can't be coming back stronger than what you were when you first get injured. It's just about making sure that you use your time as best as you can and understand that you will always know how to dance. Your technique will always be there. It might take a few sessions to get it sharp, but you will still know how to dance. But it's always about that fitness that is going to drop the quickest. And because you have extra time, you might as well get strong, even if you hadn't been focusing on strength prior to your injury, okay? Guys, I hope that helps you understand what you need to do when you get injured. If you have any questions, as always, just let me know, and I will see you back here for episode 8.